The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, people are placing huge wagers on prediction markets such as Kalshi and Polymarket on issues ranging from when will the war in Iran end to who will win the French Open this week and just about everything in between. Supporters say this is a smart way to make money. Others say it is gambling at best and a facilitator of insider trading at worst. So where does the truth of this lie? Well, Mitch Labiak is senior business journalist with the BBC and he's been investigating this extensively. And Mitch is with us now. Good morning, Mitch.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. And thank you for joining us and explaining all of this to us, because we've heard a lot about Polymarket in particular. Where did it all start, or how long has it been around for?
Yeah, good question. I mean, in terms of how long Polymarket has been around for, we're talking since 2020. Kalshi, which is one of the other big prediction markets operators, sort of similar situation. But in that time, they've grown rapidly. Just to give you an idea of numbers, Polymarket is worth $9 billion. Kalshi is worth $22 billion. These are companies that essentially didn't exist a decade ago. So phenomenal growth in a very short period of time.
And the Americans, so it came about there, did it, because it sort of circumvents the strict rules around gambling?
Correct. Yes, you're spot on. So essentially in the US, prediction markets, which Polymarket and Kalshi both are classed as trading. So they're regulated by the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. So according to sort of the US regulation and the US law, on a federal level, they are sort of in the same bracket as buying or selling what are known as futures or derivatives, which to me and you just means buying or selling oil on the commodities market. And the idea is that prediction markets, according to the US law anyway, fall into that same bracket, which allows them to operate in all 50 states. And the reason that's significant is because gambling is prohibited in many US states, but trading is not. So they're able to sort of operate in this way, which many people argue looks a lot like gambling, but is not regulated as gambling in the US.
And there doesn't seem to be much of a political appetite to tackle this.
No. I mean, well, it's a funny one, isn't it? So certainly Donald Trump's, there's as is often the case with Mr. Trump, there's a difference between what Donald Trump says and what happens. So what has happened is that there's been this lax attitude towards treating it as gambling anyway, whereas the Democrats are calling for much more stringent legislation. But the Commodities Trading Futures Commission under Trump's administration has been has been happy to keep it that way. But when Trump has been asked about this personally, he says that he's against prediction markets. And he doesn't like what he calls the casino-fying of world events. Never mind that his own son is heavily invested in prediction markets.
Tell me about that. Tell me about his own son being heavily invested, because we have heard about this as an undercurrent to this entire story. But what is the level of involvement there?
We're talking an executive level position. We're talking sort of, I believe, somewhere around $1 billion of investment. But it sort of speaks to sort of how the Trump administration often runs. I mean, you think of sort of Trump's backing of cryptocurrency from a legislative point of view, and then also some direct investments in cryptocurrency as well. This certainly seems similar. It's sort of a new frontier for presidents. It's not something we've sort of come across before. So, a very odd one would be a generous way of putting it.
Well, people really started to take notice of Polymarket, didn't they, around the time of the 2024 American presidential election, when all the bets were going on Trump, but the opinion polls were suggesting that it would be a Democrat win. So then in the aftermath, people were saying, well, hang on a second, maybe it's this thing that really has the gauge on public opinion.
Yeah, you're precisely right. I think what excites people about it, so to sort of, you know, people who defend these markets will very quickly say they're better than opinion polls. And the reason for that being that, as one of the people we spoke to for the BBC story I wrote said, people have always had opinion on anything, but this is literally, quite literally, putting your money where your mouth is. So that sort of helps to create a more accurate polling. Academics have noticed this as well. You know, the first prediction market actually operated way back in the 1980s in the US, but it was purely an academic exercise, and it wasn't run as a, you know, as a multi-billion dollar company. It was run as an academic exercise. Academics would sort of trade a maximum of $100, I think it was, each, just to see on who they thought would win the election. And they found that their prediction markets were more accurate than polling. And now that they've sort of exploded into the mainstream, as you say, with the 2024 election, so it has proven that at least the last big litmus test, that 2024 election, the prediction markets predicted Donald Trump win when the polls didn't. So that's definitely one of the defenses of them.
And are punters, like regular punters, making money on these things, or is it just the big guys?
Yeah, I mean, you've hinted at something right there, which is that by and large, people don't make money on this. So the Wall Street Journal crunched the numbers on this. 67% of profits go to 0.1% of accounts.
Ah.
The vast majority of people are sharing a minority of the profits. That's not to say people don't win, but the big winners are this sort of tiny subset of users, which the Wall Street Journal found, you know, were using very sort of professional setups. They might have had AI bots to help them. They might have had staff, in the same way that you expect a large fund that trades oil on the commodities exchange would operate. Or a large fund that operates on the stock exchange, you've got very professionalized players quickly entering these prediction markets because there's money to be made.
And how are the people who run them making money?
Well, quite a lot of them, I'm sure, are doing so perfectly legitimately. But one of the concerns about prediction markets is how it opens itself up to insider trading. Now, Polymarket and Kalshi would be very quick to point out that insider trading exists on the stock market, exists on the commodities market. You know, it's a problem in all markets. But I think one of the reasons that people get quite concerned about this kind of insider trading is because of the highly specified nature of it, and the way in which these markets enter into in sometimes quite dangerous territory. So the most high profile example was the U.S. Special Forces soldier Gannon Ken Van Dyke, who won $409,000 on an alleged bet on Polymarket, alleged by the U.S. Department of Justice. He was arrested for that. He's pleaded not guilty. But this bet that he won was on the capture of then Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. And he was a Special Forces soldier involved in that operation. So you can quite quickly see how, if, for example, the Venezuelans had caught wind of this bet and that money was going on this bet, they might have caught wind of the whole US operation. So aside from the fact that there's the question of bad taste, whether we should be allowed to place bets on these world events, there's also very real concerns around what it means for insider trading around these very serious real world events.
But I suppose there are those who would say, well, he was caught, wasn't he? Which shows that the systems are working.
Correct. Yes. Very, very good point. This was Polymarket's, the point that it made. It said, look, we found this out. We spotted this very quickly. The concern from others is that while Polymarket in this case, of course, did find out about this insider trading very quickly, and cases on Kalshi have been flagged as well. The concern from people who study this is that the markets themselves open themselves up to insider trading on these sorts of activities in a way that the oil markets or the stock markets don't, is the argument, is the concern. But yes, you're right to say that Polymarket and Kalshi did spot this, and they were kicked off the platform. And in this case, he was arrested, of course, pleading not guilty.
Mitch, it's fascinating to hear about it. Thank you very much for explaining it all to us. That's Mitch Labiak, who is a senior business journalist with the BBC.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.